Well, as we begin this morning, I just want to ask a question. Can you think back in your life to a time when God did something significant, either in your life or in the life of the church you were part of? Is there a moment when you look back and say, God did great things among us? If you've been here a Christian a bit longer, you'll probably have more things to look back on and say, God was at work. Funny, those of you who came from St. James's, maybe some of you look back to the early 1990s. People still tell the stories of that church centre. Apparently, the builders started work before you even had the money. But God provided the money and the centre was built, and people look back and say, that centre has been a fantastic asset, hasn't it, for the cause of the gospel over the last nearly 30 years. Maybe look back to when Grace Church was started, 2004. The story you tell me is, St. James's was packed out. Morning, afternoon, evening, there was no more room, and you wanted to reach more people for Jesus, so you went to the Maid of Muslim. And you look back and say, God did great things among us. He was at work. People were becoming Christian. God was at work. Me personally, I look back to when I first arrived in London, 2005. Tracy and I were at Christchurch Mayfair. It was the early days of commission. And actually that first 5 years, we were just talking about it, it was an extraordinary time. Christchurch Mayfair planted 5 churches in 5 years. A team went to St. John's down in Chelsea. A team went to Grafton to St. Peter's Fulham. A team started Christchurch Earlsfield. A team started the Bridge Madison. And a team started Clapham Central. 4 of those churches are still going. People were coming Christians. God was at work. And you look back and say, God did great things. I don't think we really felt it at the time, but you look back, it was an extraordinary season. Maybe it's not the church, it's something personal. Do you look back at a season in your life where God did something significant? A time when you're in a church where you grew significantly in your trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it was a weekend away, or a mission trip, or something like that. I look back into my first year at university. I went to South Africa, to Pietermaritzburg, with a New Frontiers church, and God did significant things in my life that summer. Now let me ask another question. Do you want God to do that again? Do you want God to do those sort of things again in our church and in our lives? Because if you do, I think we feel the tension that the psalmist feels. Have a look with me at the psalm. It's a classic psalm of 2 halves, this one. And the 2 key themes are restoration and joy. So if you look at verses 1 to 3, we'll see that God looks back, the psalmist looks back at a time when God restored Zion. Looking back at a moment of restoration. Apparently it was a bit like a dream, it seems, verse 1, and the psalmist was filled with joy and says, the Lord has done great things. It's a looking back and saying, God did something significant and we have great joy and we praise him for it. And then you get verses 4 to 6. So the same themes come up again, restoration and joy. Verse 4, the psalmist is now praying, restore our fortunes, Lord. Turn weeping to joy. See, the psalmist has that same experience, looks back, sees God at work, and says, God did great things, and looks forward again and says, I want to see that again, restore our fortunes. That's tension we often feel, don't we, in the Christian life. We look back, praise God for what he's done in the past, and long for him to do things in the future. And we're going to go through the verses in some detail to think through, what does that look like to live like this? But to understand what it means for us, of course, these pilgrims were on the way up to Jerusalem before the Lord Jesus, but we live post-Jesus Christ. And coming up on the screen, we live in what we often refer to as the now, but the not yet, of the kingdom. And I think helping us understand where we stand in biblical history helps us be able to read and understand this psalm. Now, I've got a little visual, and if you've done a Bible overview course, you'll be familiar with it. There it is. And we have to understand, we live in a tension between the now and the not yet. So we live in the present age, that's the age in which we live in. That age will come to an end when Jesus Christ returns. But of course, in the midst of this present age, Jesus Christ breaks in with his first coming. And Jesus brings in the kingdom. We learned, didn't we, in John's Gospel. How do we enter the kingdom? Well, we need to be born again. And we become part of the kingdom. We prayed the Lord's Prayer today. Let your kingdom come. We want people to recognize Jesus as the King and be part of the kingdom. And Jesus' kingdom will continue even after he returns. And you see, we experience in part now, don't we, the blessings of the kingdom. We have the Holy Spirit. We can know God. But we won't experience that fully until Jesus returns. So we live in this now, but the not yet. And as we understand that, it helps us understand how we read this psalm. So with that sort of diagram in mind, I'd like us to come back to the verses, and we'll just walk through them in a little bit more detail. And the first thing I want us to see is this. Rejoice in the Lord's past restoration. This is verses 1 to 3. Let me just read them again. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. So here we are, the pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. They look back at a moment in history where God restored them. And we don't know the detail. Was there a specific event? Could it have been a time of captivity when God restored them? A time of siege when God restored them? A time of famine when God restored them? Or a plague when God restored them? Maybe the psalm was written a bit later. Some commentators speculate they look back on when they were out in exile in Babylon and God brings them back. Actually, if you read the Old Testament, you realise there's lots of times when God's people, it all went wrong, usually because they were disobedient, and then God very kindly, graciously restores them. But notice this restoration is beyond what they could have dreamed. We were like those who dreamed. This was an unexpected, it was beyond what would have maybe normally been expected to happen. And the response, have a look at the response, the emotion, verse 2. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. There's exuberance, there's praise, there's rejoicing. God has restored them. You hear stories, don't you, of people being freed, having been hostage, or refugees being able to go home. It's that sort of sense of joy that we're getting here. But notice this joy is seen not just by the people, but by people outside. Have a look at the end of verse 2. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Other people outside of the people of God look in and said, God has done great things for them. So then you get this wonderful summary, don't you, verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. The psalmist looks back and praises God for this restoration in the past. What does that mean for us? Well, firstly, we can look back at what God has done for us in Christ. For God has done great things for us, beyond what we could have dreamed. So the Bible's clear, you and I, we're disobedient sinners. We rightly deserve God's wrath and his anger. And yet he loves us. Beginning of this week, I was away on 11/14 summer venture and looking at the book of Jonah. And the week began talking about how Jonah ran away from God. So God sent Jonah to Nineveh, and Jonah very much turned his back and walked in the other direction and got on a boat to Tarshish. And the teaching point we were talking to the young people was about the fact that we all do that, don't we? God calls each one of us to love him with our heart, our soul and our mind. And to love our neighbours as ourselves. And we've all turned our back. And what happened for Jonah as he got on that boat to run away from God? Well, he got judgment. A storm, if you know the story. And a reminder that we too, for our disobedience, deserve God's judgment. We deserve his wrath and ultimately hell. And yet God has done great things for us. You see, out of great love, not because we were deserving, Jesus Christ came and rescued us through his death and resurrection. He has restored us. He has
forgiven us. He has adopted us. He has given us the hope of eternal life. It's beyond really what we could have dreamed, because it's certainly not what we deserved.
Tim Keller puts it like this. The gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. We can rejoice, can't we? We can look back at how God has restored us in Christ and declare how wonderful, how marvellous, and we'll sing about it at the end. Our final song. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. We too can look back with great joy at what God has done for us when Jesus came and died and rose again. But we can also look back. Give thanks for all the small things he's done in our lives, can't we? And in our church. See, God has been at work among us. Sometimes as you come to the end of 2 years on the staff here, you start to reflect what God has been doing. And you reflect back about the dozens of people who've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many for the first time. Yeah, we had the newcomers brunch. It was very exciting as a staff team. Just actually wrote down all the different names. There was a lot of people to invite to that newcomers brunch. One of the privileges of being a pastor here is that I get to hear your stories of how God has been at work in your life, and many of you will testify to it, that God has done great things. At our confirmation service, when Joe and Theo gave their testimonies of what God has done in their life, we had summer camps and ventures last week, and I've had messages of how God has been at work in young people's lives, even through them. Maybe you've got your own story you can tell of what God has done in your life. How much more can we look back and rejoice in the Lord's past restoration, what God has done? And let's rejoice with joy and praise him, because he has done it. The first thing the psalmist does, let's rejoice in the Lord's past restoration. But then the psalmist looks forward. Verses 4 to 6, and this is pray for the Lord's future restoration. Let me read again. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. So here we have a picture. The psalmist is longing, aren't they, for restoration. And the picture here is quite dramatic. We've got the Negev. Think barren, parched desert in the south of Israel going towards Sinai. And the psalmist says, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Quite a lot of fun. You go on YouTube and put in green desert this week, Israel, and you can see the rain comes and literally it does turn green. Things grow. It's extraordinary. It's quite sudden. The rain comes and it turns green. And the psalmist seems to be saying, God, will you do the same thing here? Will you restore us like those waters do the landscape in the barren Negev? And interestingly, how verses 5 and 6, how human endeavour fits with that. See, here we have people who are sowing. And they're doing so with tears. They're doing so with weeping. It feels like there's a sense of perseverance, of working hard, going on. But longing for a day when all the sowing comes to fruition, and there is a great harvest. They will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. A sense of extravagance. A sense of blessing with this joy and the sheaves. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in heaven. God, would you come and do that sudden work of transformation? So that those who are working hard for the harvest will be able to sing songs of joy as they reap and bring it in. What does that mean for us? Well, again, same things again. Look at it in Christ. You see, for us, we're also waiting for that day when Jesus will return, aren't we? That day when Jesus will make all things new, where our pilgrimage here will end.
that new Jerusalem where all is good and nothing is bad. That day when our labours are complete and we will rejoice at all God has done as he gathers his people from every tribe and tongue and nation. What's nonsense? Let's pray for that day. But know that day is coming when Jesus Christ returns. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And so as we wait for that final day, don't we also pray that God would do that in our church even today? Do we also not long and pray that he would restore our church? Maybe in some of those ways he's done in the past. At this point you can go on a slight dream, because I think that's what verse 1 encourages to do. You see, what the restoration was beyond their dreams, wasn't it? Wouldn't it be wonderful to pray for a day when this building is full at every service? The people who know and love Christ. A church with a youth and children's work committed to making disciples of Christ. A church with a ministry to the weak and the vulnerable and the marginalised that loves them as people of dignity and shares Christ with them. A church committed to loving all people in this parish so they might hear of Jesus. A church committed to the worldwide mission of Christ, sending people out. A church committed to sending people into ministry, whether in the early 20s or in retirement. And a church marked, ultimately, by the love of Christ. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Seems a dream, isn't it, on some level? But that was what God did in the past. Verse 1. And what's true in our church, do we not also long that he would do in our denomination? Very striking, going down to St. Leonard's. The churches I've been working for, there's two of them. 10 years ago, they both had their own vicar. Decline is such that they will now share my time between them. They've got a deanery plan. The plan is essentially a plan for decline management. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Do we not long that God would come and intervene so that churches would grow? Do not long that our denomination would spend less time trying to mimic the world and more spending time prayerfully sitting under the authority of the Bible, living for Christ. Wonder where the application is. Let's pray. Let's pray for the Lord's future restoration. Let's commit to praying that God would do a work among us, just as he does in the desert when he sends the rain. And as we do that, let's patiently and persistently say that. So let's press on. Sowing Christ to our families, even when they don't necessarily want to listen. It will involve weeping and tears. It will be hard work at times as we long for children, parents, spouses to turn to Christ. We press on sowing, seeking to sow Christ with our friends, our neighbours and our colleagues, even when they don't seem to want to listen. We press on seeking to sow Christ with our community. Chat and play dads, fab club, community cafe, camp midweek, gigs, fix. Even when we may see little fruit, we pray and ask that God might restore our fortunes. He might do a work so there might be great joy as people turn and believe in Jesus. The psalmist calls us to pray for the Lord's future restoration. The psalmist calls us to rejoice in the Lord's past restoration. Wonderful things to encourage us to do this week and ongoing, as we pilgrim to the new Jerusalem. Let's pray. Dear Father, we too want to rejoice in your past restoration. We want to praise you and thank you for all you've done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for all you've done in this church over the many years. And we praise you and glorify you for it, recognizing it's your work. And Father, as we go forward, we long that you might restore our fortunes, you might do a significant work in each of our lives, in our church's life, in our denomination's life. That you might bring many to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. They might know the joy of the gospel. And as we do that, we look for that final day when Jesus will return. And there will be great joy for your people. We ask that in his precious name.